Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is the gospel lesson, Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. We read again in Jesus' name. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were so many people coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. They went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. But many people saw them leave and knew where they were going. They ran there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. When Jesus stepped out of the boat, he saw a large crowd. His heart went out to them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. These are the words of our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have once again gathered to be taught from your holy word. We pray that you would speak to us through it. Dispel our doubts and fears and reassure us that Jesus is our Savior from sin. May your love and forgiveness in him give true rest for our souls. Sanctify us then by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Katie and Marissa were traveling with their family. Marissa is Katie's sister, by the way. Were traveling through Rochester one day with their family, and they noticed a hotel called Comfort Inn. And apparently they began to plan and dream how they would own a hotel one day. They even came up with a name for the hotel, Sleep Inn. You got to admit, that's a pretty good name for a hotel, right? You're on a road trip trying to get the miles under your belt, a long day, you pull up to the hotel, Sleep In. You know? Or you've reached your hotel or your vacation destination. You're relaxing, decompressing. What do you want to do? Sleep In. I don't know about you, but sleep is sometimes the way that I rate a hotel. I don't always get good sleep in a hotel. Maybe the mattress isn't quite right. One time there was a blinking light in the room. Other times there's noisy guests in the rest of the hotel. You might get some sleep. You certainly don't sleep in, and you don't sleep well. As a little side note, Katie and Marissa were very disappointed when later in life they realized someone had stolen their idea and created the Sleep In chain. Well, why all this talk about sleep? Sleep is the epitome of our need for rest. We need sleep. We need rest. We also acknowledge that we don't always get the best sleep. We don't always get the best rest. Jesus gives the best rest. And so he invites you to come to him. He has rest for the body and rest for the soul. In our text, it begins with the disciples gathering around Jesus. He had sent them out two by two to preach the good news of the kingdom, to call people to repentance, even given them the power to perform miracles and drive out demons. They came back to Jesus with the report of all that they had done and taught. They'd been working hard for Jesus on that missionary trip. And then when they came back to Jesus, there were so many people coming and going that they couldn't even get a meal. So their loving shepherd Jesus recognized that their bodies needed rest. They needed time to disengage from the crowd and recuperate. So he gave them the instruction, let's go by yourselves to a secluded place. And Jesus got them in a boat, and they headed off to that place. Jesus recognized that his workers needed rest. Rest for their bodies, in this case. What about you? What would be your level of rest right now in your life? There are two extremes that people can fall into when it comes to rest. The first one that we'll deal with is that of the workaholic, where there is no rest, okay? Just pushing, 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 trying to get ahead, working day after day, just slogging away. And this doesn't have to be in a profession or a job. This can be at home, where there is no rest. Now, there are certainly different phases of life. Phases where we can physically work harder than others. But it's very easy for our work to get out of balance. When I graduated from university and went and worked in mines after graduation, I was not balanced. In the last mine I worked at, the regular worker would go in for 14 days, work 14, 12-hour shifts, and then fly out for 7 days of rest and recreation. I would drive in and sometimes stay 4, 5, 6 weeks. Now, I could look at it at the time. I was on the opposite side of the country from my family and my church. I didn't have any friends in the town that I would go and rest and recreate in. What else is there to do? Just work. But it was a total imbalance. It was an ignoring of the need of my body. There was probably some greed mixed up in that as well. Okay. Earning money, chasing the dollar. Our bodies have limitations. There's only so much that we can do. We may be able to push it for a little while, but there needs to be time of rest. It's not weakness to say, I need some time off. It's not weakness to say, I need to distance myself from work so that I can focus on other things, things that may be very important to me. So living a balanced life is very difficult. Having our priorities in check and our physical health being one of them is a difficult thing to pull off. So life is much more than work. But we don't want to go to the other extreme either, where rest is our only pursuit. Laziness is a sin. And so the Bible says, if you do not work, you will not eat. So we are to be industrious and use the talents and abilities that God has given us in balance. Not too much work, not too much rest. So what is the purpose of rest then? The purpose of rest is to allow our body to recuperate. And to spend time doing other things that are important to us. what that does is it refreshes us so that we can go out and work again. It then becomes a repeatable cycle without burnout and breakdown. Jesus wanted this time of rest for his disciples and even tried to get to a secluded place. Okay? When they got there, we learned that a crowd's already gathering. So you wonder what rest Jesus and the disciples actually got. Maybe it was a leisurely boat trip to the secluded place. Maybe that was the place where they got to rest and disengage. Jesus soon put them back to work. That crowd that gathered would later be fed by 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. And it was the disciples that were taking the baskets and distributing the food. It was the disciples that gathered up the food after everyone had eaten. Before you think that's an easy task, remember there were 5,000 men plus whatever women and children were there. Jesus gave the disciples a brief period of rest so that they could go back to work. So rest is important in the balance of life. And Jesus, your good shepherd, cares for your body. Maybe it's for that reason that God set us the great example. You might remember that God created the world in 6 days. Everything from nothing, spoken into being, 6 days. Then what did he do on the seventh? He rested from all his work. Do you think God was so tired out after the 6 days of creation that he just had to take a break? No, he was setting us an example to rest from our labor, to reinforce that need for rest. God even made one of the Ten Commandments, the third one, focus on it. Keep the day of rest holy. God used that image, that example of bodily rest, resting from labor, as a picture for the rest that we need for the soul. When Jesus arrived at that secluded place, it wasn't so secluded. There was already people gathering there. They'd been running from the towns and villages to get there ahead of Jesus, or to get there at least as soon as they possibly could. Jesus saw that crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw those people's need for rest. And so Mark simply says, he began to teach them many things. Why did Jesus think that those people were sheep without a shepherd? Obviously, they were agitated. They're running to get somewhere. Obviously, there was still some confusion about Jesus. We'll see that as we continue reading the gospel lessons in the coming weeks. There was probably even some confusion, some dissonance between what their religious leaders had been teaching them and now what Jesus was teaching them. And they were uncertain about who they should follow. Their religious leaders had taught them throughout their lives that you've got to be good to get to heaven. You've got to obey the commandments. You've got to do exactly what God says. Jesus came with a different message. Repent and receive the good news. The good news that God takes away sin in the person of the Christ. The good news that God forgives sinners and welcomes them. So that would have made the people wonder, who's right? Who's teaching us the truth? Then when you add these powerful miracles that Jesus was performing, you can imagine the excitement of the crowd. We've never seen anything like this. And so they're running. They're searching. But they probably didn't even know what they were really searching for. So Jesus began to teach them many things. Jesus has rest for the soul. What makes you agitated? And I mean inside. Okay? Often when I talk to people about things that are making them anxious, it can be mistakes that they've made. Sins that they've committed. A guilty conscience is a terrible burden to have to carry around. A guilty conscience pulls people down. It's a load that can become unbearable. Because no matter what things they try, they just can't have peace. They can't have rest. They remember what they've done. And it haunts them. It plagues them day after day. Every time they think of it, their heart just sinks. Jesus has rest for sinners. And it's not by forgetting that the sin exists. It's not by downplaying the magnitude of the sin. It's not by ignoring it. Just be happy. Jesus has rest for sinners because what he did was take sin away. So for the person with a guilty conscience, he says to that person, that sin is no longer yours, it's mine. And that burden that you've been carrying around, that's no longer yours to carry, that's mine. And Jesus has carried the guilt of your sins. Jesus carried it all the way to the cross. And he suffered what that sin demands. God's wrath and punishment. So now, whatever your sins are, whatever makes your heart sink with guilt, Jesus says that burden is no longer yours. I have rest for you. I have carried it for you. Now you may think, well, that's a good idea. How can I know it's true? How can I know that Jesus has been able to carry my guilt? How do I know that he can give me the best possible rest for my soul? God raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Christ declares to you that Jesus has the best rest. That he can carry and has carried the guilt of all of your sins. So let your hearts be at peace. Whatever troubles you, whatever stirs you deep inside with worry and concern, Jesus has taken it away. You are forgiven. You are dearly loved by God. And He is watching over you to work all things for your good. Jesus, our good shepherd, still is concerned for us and is working all things in our lives to get us safely to heaven. We are no longer sheep without a shepherd. We have Jesus, and He gives the best rest. So where will you find rest? On your vacations? What hotel chain would you choose? Where will you find rest for your souls? May it be here and wherever Jesus gathers His people to proclaim His word, so that you can know your sins are forgiven. To Him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.